Shall we all rise and read scripture together? And as you do so, can you take out your Bibles and declare what we do every weekend? Do you have a Bible to you, a soft copy Bible or a hard copy Bible? Shall we raise it up and declare this? Do it loudly with gusto and conviction, amen? A count of three, one, two, three. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me God. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry, no. Please remain standing. Same mistake yesterday. All right, let's read two scriptures from Luke and Mark. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19, and Mark 4, 35 to 39. On the count of three, one, two, three. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 39. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Please be seated. If you've not got a copy of this weekend's devotional, please do so. The person that wrote this put a lot of effort into it, and as I read it, I was thoroughly blessed as well. So we read the scripture just now, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And Luke chapter 4 is written by, it's from the book of Luke, written by a doctor called Luke. And the Gospel of Luke is a little bit different from the other three Gospels because Luke makes a lot of references to the Old Testament. And this is one reference that is being made to Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Now let me give you some context of why the scripture was read again and referred to in Luke chapter 4. This is during the time of Jesus in Nazareth. Nazareth at the time was probably about 1,500 to 2,000 people, a population of that size. And every day they would gather around the synagogue or the temple to listen to scripture, to hang out, to do life in a community together. So the synagogue, besides being a temple, it was also a community center where everyone in Nazareth gathered around to interact with each other. So every day, a scripture text was selected by the high priest, and every day, a young man was asked to read the text of the day. And it so happened, at this particular day, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 was the text selected to be read. And so happened that day, Jesus was asked to read this text. Now, if you know that in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 and beyond, this chapter is referring to the coming of a Savior, which is who? Jesus, right? And what are the chances where Jesus would read this text on that day selected by the high priest? There's no coincidence. It's all orchestrated by God. And when Jesus read this, the people in the synagogue, they were truly amazed because they were like, "Wow, who is this? Oh, this is Jesus, the son of Joseph." Now to them, Jesus read scripture very, very convincingly. It was like a presentation. But what they failed to realize was that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of his own. He himself said, "This is I'm here to fulfill this prophecy. But all they could see is Jesus. Oh, you are the son of Joseph. You read scripture so well, so convincing. My friends, in this season of Advent, as we focus on Christ, as we read about him, as we remember Jesus, my prayer is that we do not, oh, this is Jesus that I read from a certain book, or this is Jesus that I remembered my mom telling me about, or this is Jesus that I recall reading about. It's based on your past experiences and your past encounters with Christ, and it's caused you to have a certain prejudice or certain ideals of what Jesus may be to you. Friends, every day is a new encounter, a new revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, your Lord, your friend. So let it not be Jesus of yesterday. Let it be Jesus of today and what you can look forward to as Christ continually wanting to reveal himself to you. Amen? Can you turn to your neighbor around you and say, that's my prayer for you too in this season of Advent. Affirm him and her. But so we know that Luke chapter 4 is about Christ, and that's the mandate of Jesus coming to earth to do all these things, to proclaim the good news. Good news is life, that we can have life abundantly, and we will be set free from our bondages, we will be healed from our infirmities and our diseases. Now, this is what Jesus will be doing. But way before time, before Jesus would do this and will do this, he had to surrender himself to God. He had to surrender himself to God. Now we see here in this text in Luke 22, verse 42, it reads that, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was fully God, fully divine, and fully man. What does it mean to be fully man? Fully man, which means he experienced all the feelings and all the emotions that you and I experience. So as he was contemplating, I'm just imagining here, right? Coming to earth to be born in a manger. For those of you who don't know what a manger is basically like a single-story house, but it's much, much smaller, and in front of the house is our car porch, right? So back in that day, instead of a car porch, it's a manger where they keep the livestock, like the lambs, the sheep, the cows, the chickens. No pigs, by the way. The Jews do not eat pigs. Not halal. All right? So this, they keep all their livestock right in front there. And this is where Christ was born, in the manger. Can you imagine Jesus, the King of Kings, just in the presence of God the Father? The angels worshipped him, and he would be so willing to give up all this to come down on earth to be a baby, a helpless baby, born not in a palace but in a manger, to give himself, to come to this low, and then to ultimately die on the cross, a very tragic, a very difficult death. But more importantly for Jesus, to be separated from God the Father himself as he began to bear the sins of the world on him on the cross. Which means he and God the Father will be separated. That is the ultimate rejection that he will ever experience. But he knew that as he was praying and saying this, if you are willing, take this cup from me. I can't do this. He probably was, as he prayed this prayer, he was probably afraid. He was probably full of anxiety and concern, whatever things that you may have, he's experiencing it here. But he himself had to surrender to God because he knew God the Father. He knew the nature of the Father. He knew the wisdom of the Father. But we know that God the Father had this plan to send Christ to redeem mankind. And Jesus is part of that great, great plan. For him to do that, he had to surrender himself to the Father. And in doing so, God is glorified. And all of us are here today because Christ, first of all, surrendered to God the Father. So we can learn and take the example from Christ that as he was on earth, as he was fully man, he too had to grapple with his emotions, the stigma that people may have placed on him, the rejection. Just like the woman at the well, all her feelings that she was encountered when people looked down at her and said, oh, you are a very loose woman, in a very nice term. So we too can begin to identify that to be able to be accepted is to surrender to Christ. The more we know Jesus, the more we can surrender. In Psalms 9, verse 10, shall we read this together on the count of three? One, two, three. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. In this last couple of months, we have been entertained by a lot of superhero movies. How many of you have watched Thor? Thor. How many have watched the recent DC Justice League? Okay. A while back, I went to watch Captain America Civil War with a couple of kids. Now, kids love their superheroes. How many of you love your superheroes? Do you all have a favorite character in Marvel? Do you have a favorite character in DC? Yes? Oh, yes. So, as we were watching Civil War, Captain America, you see the kids, they were so animated. Like, wow, Hulk, wow. Iron Man, he has all these powers, he can fly. Captain America, he's so nimble, he's so agile, he can fight so well. And it was just so amusing to see these kids because they are just so drawn to the powers of these heroes. Are we drawn to Christ because of his powers? Or what he can do for you and I? And I'll just ask you this question. Would you put your trust in Hulk to save your day? Would you put your trust in Incredible Hulk, the green monster, to save your day? He'd probably say, Hulk smash. That's all he can say. Until in Thor, where he talks a bit more, I'm a bit surprised. Right? And so we know that it's very hard to put our trust in people if we do not know them personally. So he says here that the more we begin to know Christ, the more we can surrender, the more we can commit our ways to him. So living all in God's hands is a position of trust. Living all in God's hands, everything, all is a position of trust. There's this medical missionary called Sir Wilfrid Grenfell in the 19th century. He's a missionary in Labrador. Labrador is somewhere in Newfoundland in northeast of Canada. It's very close to the North Pole. And his passion is to go around and bring medical aid to the Inuits, the Eskimos there, who didn't have much medical supplies. So on this particular day, he was going to visit and see how this 8-year-old boy is doing because he's not feeling too well. But the journey from his place to this boy where he lives is 2 days. 2 days of sledding and with 8 dogs pulling his sled. So on his way to visit the boy, he thought, I'll take a shortcut. He took a shortcut and crossed a frozen sea. On his way along the frozen sea, the sea began to crack, and it became ice plains or icebergs. And one of his dogs drowned and died. And he was together with the 7 dogs stuck on this ice plain. And there was no hope, no way of rescue. But what he did was, he mercifully killed 3 of his dogs, skinned them of their hide, and made a coat to keep warm. And then later, he went to sleep. He was eventually rescued, and he was asked, what were you going through? What were you thinking when you were experiencing, when you were stuck on this ice plane? And he said this, there was nothing to fear because I had done all I could. I had done all I could. The rest lay in God's hands. The rest is in his hands. This, to me, as I read this, of this account of Sir Wilfrid, it shows me of his confidence and his security in the God that he knew, in Christ that he knew. And this is a life or death situation. There's probably no hope. He probably, in his mind, would thought, this is my way, I will die. But at the same time, he still trusted in the Lord, irregardless of the outcome. And friends, my encouragement to you is, we can take and learn from the lesson of Sir Wilfrid. Whatever storms you're going through in your life, begin to know Christ. Know him through the reading of his word. Know him that he is perfect in all his ways, because we are trusting in his righteousness. We're trusting in his sovereignty. Because God is never wrong. God is never late. He has never failed. Let me share with you an account of Darren. Darren is the brainchild behind all the decorations, all these cuts that you see here, the entire play. Let's give him a hand, yeah? He did really, really well. I'm so proud of him. And Darren was telling me on this account that he was struggling to find someone to be Elizabeth. The play last week we saw, there was Mary and there was Elizabeth. And God told him by 12 a.m., midnight, someone will come to you and say, I will play the role of Elizabeth. 10 p.m. came. No news. 10:30 came. No news. About 11 something, then he received a text from somebody saying that, Darren, I know somebody that has been praying, and the Lord has spoke to her to play the role of Elizabeth. And when Darren heard this, to telling me this story, wow, I am so encouraged. In matters like this, God is still working. If God is working on Darren's behalf in a play for church, he also is working on your behalf in whatever situation you're going through. In your family, perhaps there's a loved one who's sick, or in relationships that you're encountering at home or in your workplace. God is in the midst of what you're going through. So we just got to trust in God's righteousness and his sovereignty. And also to know Jesus a lot more personally, is to read and to meditate on his scriptures. His scriptures brings life. It brings conviction of sin that we may be involved in. His scripture brings a greater understanding of why we are here on this earth. So friends, if you are not sure of why you're here, if you're not sure of your faith, turn to the Word of God, and He will begin to bring you clarity and even give you life. So we talked about point number one, Jesus Himself surrendered. Number two, the more we know Jesus, the more we can surrender. And the third point, our life is a daily journey of surrender to Christ. Our life is a daily journey of surrender to Christ. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and 39, shall we read this together? All right, this passage of scripture on the count of three, one, two, three. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side," leaving the crowd behind. They took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So in this passage of Scripture, the disciples, they were faced with a storm. Storm. 2017 is fast coming to a close. As we reflect on 2017, as I reflected on 2017, I've encountered different storms in my life. So can you imagine being with the disciples on the boat, faced with storm, this huge storm? If you are in a storm on a boat, what is all around you? What are you? What would be the feelings that you'd be experiencing? I think number one, it's very frightening. It's very, very frightening because the waves are hitting on the boat. The winds are howling. It's dark. There's no clarity in where you're going and what you're doing. Everything seems to be in chaos. Everything seems to be in confusion. And this is what a storm can do out in the sea. And this is also what the storms of life can also do to you. It brings fear. It brings uncertainty in life. It takes away your hope. It takes away your joy. It takes away, sometimes it will shake your faith in God. So our life is a journey filled with storms. We have no sense of direction. We do not know where we are going. Probably feel that we are alone. We are alone. And if you are alone, we are looking for people around us that we can ask for help. Looking for people who are authentic and real. But at the same time, you know that to be real, to be people, sometimes it's actually being vulnerable. But we struggle to be vulnerable because of the fear of being even rejected further, being hurt even more. And this are what storms can do to us. We know that God is in control and in the storm with you. God is in control and in the storm with you. Mark 4:38 reads that Jesus was in the stern, in the boat, asleep on a pillow. Jesus was not afraid of the storm. Jesus was in the storm. Jesus is in control of the storm. Another verse, which is not on this screen, but it's, I think it's in your notes, it's from Nahum 1, verse 3b, where it says, "His way," or God's way, "is in whirlwind and storm. And the clouds are dust of His feet. The clouds are dust of his feet. So God is in control of the storm. He's either caused the storm or has allowed the storm to happen to you in your life. Either way, if God caused a storm or God allowed it, we are okay because God is in control. God is in the storm with you. He's on the throne and he is in absolute control. So when you begin to surrender to God now, because God is in control, he's in the storm, then there will be peace. There will be peace. Now, what is peace? Peace is the heart attitude that is unaffected by circumstances, adversity, and troubles. It is free from anxiety and useless worrying. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, let me read to you, right? Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know that you need your need in prayers and requests while giving thanks. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. Let me read this line to you. Then God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine. God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, will guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God we know here is that it is not better when things are good or bad when things are bad. That's not what the peace of God is. The peace of God is not affected by your adversities or your circumstances in your life. You may be going through a crisis, difficult crisis. There seems to be no solution, no light at the end of the tunnel. But you can still have the peace of God because of your personal relationship with the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the peace that surpasses all understanding. So let not your heart be affected because you have the peace of God. And then the other part where it says it is free from anxiety and useless worrying. Worry is very common among us. How many of you worry? Okay, maybe worry is a bad thing. How many of you are concerned with certain things? How many have concerns? All right, we all have got concerns, right? And some of these concerns can grip us and cause us to have sleepless nights. It's not wrong to have concerns. It's not wrong at all to have fears as well or to worry. The peace of Christ is still the same when we worry or not worry or don't worry. The peace of God remains the same, even if you worry or don't worry. But the fact that we don't worry tells us that this is my trust in my God. This is my trust in my God. Amen? Amen. Now, some of us, we turn to different things to ease ourselves, to distress ourselves. I know of someone who go online and buy stuff, retail therapy. This person likes to buy shoes. I know some likes to go and eat, go to different cafes and drink coffee, have the best food in town, just to distress themselves. I have a comfort food, not one, two. Bak kut teh and ramen. So when bak kut teh, I only eat bak kut teh in Klang, and Klang is a bit far. So I go once in a while for bak kut teh. Ramen is just nearby, I can go and pick certain places just to comfort myself, and then I feel a bit better after a bowl of ramen. But all these are all temporal. And it's nothing wrong to do this, but it cannot compare to what the peace of God is. The peace of God doesn't equal, for me, eating bak kut teh and ramen. The peace of God, for some of you, is not equals drugs. It's not equals some of the things that you do to get comfort, to get distress. The peace of God is beyond our understanding. Amen? God is working on you in the storm. Have you ever wondered, when I am in this storm, are there lessons for me to learn as well? Is there things for me to draw and learn? And in Nahum 1 verse 3b, it reads, "His way is in the whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." God uses storms to teach us. This is his way of teaching us and rebuking us, challenging us. So a storm can shape our character. God is using the storm to change our thoughts, behavior, and habits. Now, as I reflect back on some of the storms I went through in my life, I had to ask myself, after the storm that I've gone through, do I come out a kinder person, a more patient person, someone that is more generous, someone that's willing to not fight, just let it be? There's someone who is more forgiving. And if you're in a storm and there's no change in your life from maybe once you are bitter, but come out, you're more bitter, then perhaps you're not learning what God is trying to teach you in the storm. You're not having not surrendered yet to Jesus, to Christ. We have not been true to ourselves. Because God wants to use the storms to teach us and to shape us. A storm is also can be used to perfect our faith, to enlarge your faith, my faith. And for me, like Pastor Chris as well, watching the Myanmar church just growing, not because of millions of numbers, but because of their passion of seeing the lost getting saved, it really, really shames me. I've got not a lot of faith. But to see the passion, to see the vision of my colleagues who are pastors in the Myanmar church really, really encourages me. So it stretches my faith. It stretches the way I perceive what my God is very, the way I see, look at God right now, I have a specific lens. So it takes a storm to shift my perspective and allow me to see God and who He is in a different perspective. And perhaps He's shaping your perspective as well, how we look at things in life from His perspective, not from your perspective. But a storm can also be reflecting His grace in your life. Now, this storm may not be directly linked to you. It may be because of people around you. Therefore, you are affected, you're concerned. But it doesn't really affect us personally or financially. But because of relationships, we know the person, we empathize with the person. We see that, I'm also in the storm with this person as well. And it's really great that you are standing together with this individual or this party. But at the same time, there's nothing much you can do but just to reflect of the sovereignty and of the grace of God in your life. Amen? Amen. And lastly, God will bring you through the storm. God will bring you through the storm. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, Mark 5, verse 1. You are going to the other side. Just like the disciples, they went through the storm and they arrived safely on the other side of the sea. Storms don't last forever. Storms don't last forever. Some storms are short. Some storms are longer, but they don't last forever. Storms have a reason and a season. The storms of life have a reason and a season. Jesus will lead you to the other side. God will see you through. Because there's peace in the storm, and there's peace through the storm of your life. When storms are at its worst, Jesus is at his best. Amen? When storms are at its worst, Jesus is at his best. Trust in him. Life has got little storms, big storms, ups and downs, but we know that God is with us in the storms. So friends, in closing, there's a big idea here. We want to be authentic. We all do want to be authentic and real. And storms shapes us. It reveals the very best of the ugly in us. But as we surrender to Christ, he's beginning to shape us and mold us so that we will be more just like the woman at the well. Just one encounter with Christ, her worldview of things begin to change. And this can be the same with you too, that we can be, first of all, authentic with God as we surrender to him. And in surrendering to him, is working in our lives, painfully sometimes. He's molding us. He's putting us through the fire. Painful. But all this will come out to be pure gold and a beautiful vase so that we can be testimonies of him to those around us. So hearing the testimony of Raymond and the many people I've interviewed, they're saying that my past was terrible, involved in drugs, in depression, but Jesus came and touched me, and today I am totally different. Now, how do I know that I'm totally different? Because of my friends, my family around me saying, wow, you are so different. You are so different. There's this lady who was telling me that last time I used to dress in a certain way, perhaps more provocatively, but today I don't dress like this anymore. And all this outward reflection is an inward sign of what God is doing in the life of this person and all of you as well. And this is where being authentic and being real comes first because Christ is working. As he works in you, your life begins to change. And others are watching. As they are watching, they are also seeing that, wow, what is so different with you? And then Christ is glorified. Christ is magnified. Amen. Can I get the team to come up? Maybe some of you are saying, but Pastor, my storm is terrible. I'm going through a lot of... It's just too difficult to explain to you. I just want to just share this example of this person called Horatio Spafford. He wrote this song, It Is Well With My Soul. It's very easy to sing, It Is Well With My Soul, when everything is hunky-dory, everything is going well. It's even harder to sing and worship the Lord when Horatio Spafford came to the same spot where his daughters drowned the year before. For him to say and tell the Lord, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, requires a lot of courage. And friends, whatever negative emotions or feelings that you have in the storms of your life even right now, can I encourage you to take all of them and muster the courage to tell the Lord, it is well with my soul. it is well with my soul. Because surrender is a posture of worship to the Lord. Surrender is a posture of worship to the Lord. Can I ask us all to stand? Reflect even right now before we sing. 2017 is coming to an end. What are the storms in life that you are going through? What are your feelings about these storms? Have you been hurt? Are you upset? Bring it to the Lord and just tell the Lord right now, it is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord you have told
to open this time for ministry. If you are in a storm of life and you're struggling in the storm and you need the assurance that God is with you, will you come up and allow the Lord to speak to you? If you do not have peace in what you're going through, my friends, the Prince of Peace is here. He wants to meet you as well. And lastly, friends, for those of you who have not encountered Christ, the Prince of Peace, and whatever I've talked about, the peace that surpasses all understanding, you too can have it. If you, the Prince of Peace is here just to meet you and to know you, to reveal himself to you. All you can do is just say this prayer after me. Shall we pray? And so repeat this prayer of salvation. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace and your love towards us. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. For the wrong that I have done. Thank you for coming to earth. To die for our sins. So that I can have life and life abundantly. Please come into my life as my Lord and Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. If you say that prayer, the Prince of Peace is with you even right now. I'd like to open this time, this altar for ministry. If you have a request, a healing, you need, come out for prayer. People to be praying for you. They want to just bless you as well. It is well
with my soul. It is well.
one more time. It is well.
It is well with my soul. It is well, and it is well with my soul.
Shall we raise our hands as I pray the benediction over us this morning? Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. You are our Lord, our Savior. Even in this season of Advent, as we look forward to you coming again, as we remember of you, our Lord and our Savior, may we have this fresh revelation of you every day in our lives, Lord. Lord, we do not want to be like the people in Nazareth when they respond, oh, this is Jesus, the son of Joseph. Whatever ideas that we have of you, we want to just be open for you to reveal yourself fresh and anew to us daily of our lives, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst, in our families, in our places of work. You are there with us at all times. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you all.